And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Darren McFarlane, that's me, Willie Donick.
Good morning.
That's him. Chase McAbabe.
Hello.
That's him. Max Herz behind the glass and friends. Man, he's got friends today.
In low places?
Max, I don't know. It looks like he's a popular dude back there today.
He does. Got a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
Real good.
We got a lot of things to get into, obviously. First of all, did everybody have a good weekend?
It was great.
Great?
Yeah.
Why was it great?
Went to Indianapolis. So that was fun.
So it was just good during the week, but it went to great over the weekend? So you went from good to great. Awesome.
Oh, you had to work that in there, didn't you?
Awesome.
Had to work that in there.
Yeah, I did. It was good. So went to Indy with some friends and went to, you know, I think I've told you about this before. I saw a 80s hair metal cover band. So I was kind of in my element.
You know? Yeah.
It was fun. It was good times. They played little Motley Crue, Poison, Metallica, AC/DC, Rat, Quiet Riot, Wasp.
Go on. The floor is yours.
Yeah, it was a good time.
If you tell me Kicks, I'm just going to let you take over this segment.
No, didn't play any Kicks. But they started playing a song, and I'm like, I know this. And then one guy was like, it's Wasp. I'm like, okay, all right. We're going way back.
I got to put my hand. I don't know Wasp. Yeah. I don't know that.
That's too deep for you. That's way too. That's honestly too. Almost
but
too
not
deep
for you.
For me. Almost. It's almost in the weeds. Like Willie, it's if this is golf analogy, he's pulling out another ball out of the bag. Okay,
like there's all
not,
the other.
You're
ones.
Not even gonna look. You're not even gonna look for it.
It's not my favorite type of music. I like some songs in there. I knew all the bands until he said Wasp. I was like, well, I don't know that one. Like, I even knew Kicks. I've seen some videos on MTV by Kicks. You've talked about them before.
Oh, yeah.
Wasp. I'm like, what?
I discovered Kicks at the Louisville Gardens when they opened up for Rat back a long, 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 long time ago. My hair was really dark. Away. My waistline. I don't know if it was any. Honestly, I don't even know if it was that much smaller. Maybe a little bit. Teron Davenport talking with TD this hour. And boy, what are we going to talk about? I'm not sure. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through this hour. He is back from Houston. Teron, with his not wearing his blue suit. How you doing?
Oh, I'm chilling, man. Listen, I definitely feel like I'm a part of the team. You know, you guys saw me scrambling trying to find headphones, and nobody did anything.
No, yeah.
I know I'm part of the team now, man.
Dude, it's week 17. Actually, it's week 18. We're talking about January football, man.
It's all gravy, man.
We were not helping.
I appreciate it.
He was looking for a lifeline.
We feel like you've seen all the coverages to this point. We've had enough film study.
Yeah.
If you don't understand the coverages by now.
I got to convert my route. I did, and you know what I mean? And we're good to go.
We're not burning the timeout. Teron,
hey,
for you to look for headphones.
You said let it roll, and you guys talked about some rock, hard rock, you know, and we did what we do.
So what was your takeaway from yesterday since you were there at NRG?
Oh, man, there's a lot of takeaways. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing for me is, and I said it in my Nifty 50 segment, this Titans offense has, they officially have a triplet, right? You have the NFL's top-rated passer.
Mm.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say Ryan Tannehill is the best quarterback in the league, you know, because someone would slap me. You have the league's top rusher, and you have one of the most dynamic, explosive, strong, young receivers in this league.
There's no way any of us could have seen this from A.J. Brown, right? I'm not even sure if the could the Titans even say that they expected a season like this his rookie year?
No.
Like, obviously, they loved him. They drafted him in the second round. But to think you were going to get this, could anybody really stand up and say, oh, yeah, I could see this coming a mile away?
If someone were to stand up and tell me they saw that, I would tell them they were lying.
Yeah,
because I'll say it like this. You won't find a bigger advocate of A.J. Brown than me. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
No,
A.J. Brown was my number one receiver.
Yeah, you were singing his praises very, very, very early on.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I hope this is not just a flash in the pan. I don't know how it could be. I just hope to goodness this is not a one-hit wonder, if we're going to use the music references, or one-album wonder. I don't see that.
I don't think it is.
But, man, if this is what the future looks like for A.J. Brown and the Titans, man, they have hit a home run or maybe a grand slam with drafting this kid.
Well, here's the thing. It's rare. He's a triplet himself, right, in that he's supremely talented. He is so grounded and well together mentally. And then on top of that, the work ethic, right? And when you say put together mentally, along with that comes being coachable. Even though he's doing what he's doing, he's not cocky. And he still says, like, he'll tell you, like, when I asked him about it yesterday, he said this is what he expected. However, if you look, it's just been gradual improvement. I remember talking to him in training camp. AJ, listen, man, you do a lot at the line of scrimmage. What are you doing to be more sudden? Next, you know, what he's doing is working with Rob Moore. What are you doing to get better at the top of your routes? Next thing you know, what you're seeing is he and Rob Moore literally jogging down the field every 10 yards. Rob Moore is showing him a move to make at the top of the route to create separation. I say all that to say there's work ethic. Even when he had the hamstring messed up, he's on the jugs machine.
Mm-hmm.
I remember standing literally right behind him on the jugs machine. And he was like, yeah, stay right there. You're in good hands with Allstate. You know, so it's just everything about this dude is in order. And I will be shocked if he doesn't have an outstanding career.
Mm. Yeah, I think everybody feels that way. But, you know, it's any position. You have to see. Like, everybody's going to ask the same thing. It's why the people who are hesitant about giving Ryan Tannehill, everybody knows today it looks great. It's not going to change this year. I've said that on the show for weeks. Like, if you think Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden is going to go off the cliff this season, that's not going to happen. It's the doubters that want to see the follow-up. Okay, then can it look like this or somewhere near it next year, right? Because if you're going to pay him the big bucks, you obviously need that to happen.
It's so underrated when you look at confidence and having the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is a confident player now.
Which one are you talking about? Are we back to A.J. Brown?
We know AJ was. I'm talking about Tannehill.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that throw to Michael Pruitt.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what about the one to A.J. Brown at the goal line?
Well, that too.
He's double covered.
That too. And he said it. And that's confidence in another player. Right?
Yeah.
But I think Tannehill is playing with the utmost confidence. And when you believe you could do something, it just – and then you have ability behind it. You're a tough out. And I think that's what he's become. He was a guy, man. You know, I liken it to that Anthony Joshua versus what is the guy's name? Ruiz, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Right? Joshua knocked Ruiz down. He got off the canvas. And knock Joshua out. And I think that's the type of bounce back that Tannehill has had.
Mm. That's a good analogy. It's a really good way to put it.
I tell you what, you're right. They do have the – and I know this sounds crazy, but this is not going to be the last time you're going to hear me say this, even though a lot of people are going to tilt their head and say, what in the heck have you been drinking? What's in your coffee this morning? If you're asking me the perfect matchup, if I had to choose of all the AFC teams to play in the first round, I know it sounds crazy, but I'd choose the Patriots.
I don't think anybody would disagree.
I don't disagree
really?
With you. No,
it's obvious right now.
It's the Patriots.
You can't. I know it's playing. The Patriots, but you look at what they have done. They are beatable.
Definitely
I know,
beatable.
But it's the Patriots.
I know.
That's all
right. Would you rather go to Arrowhead right now? I mean, I was thinking the same thing yesterday. But it's just the more you think about it, the less crazy it sounds.
I would rather see them go to Foxborough than Arrowhead, and that sounds silly because they've had their way with Kansas City. They've mm-hmm. had their way with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a notorious choker in the playoffs.
Oh my goodness!
But with all that being said, I think the Patriots is the matchup. I do.
Yeah, and yesterday. On the pregame show, I said the Chiefs, but you know what? I may have been sipping on Grandpa's old cough medicine because I was really silly to say that I would want to see this team go against Pat Mahomes, this Pat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. And a Chiefs defense, by the way, that's gotten a lot better.
sparked by Suggs and that crew. But I will say the Chiefs may be without Juan Thornhill, so that could be a problem. But either way, I think this Patriots team, right, you got a banged-up Julian Edelman. You have a running back in James White that's a threat out of the backfield. But after that, what do you have?
Well, they've struggled mightily on offense. Their defense has been very good.
And I also say this, and I said it during training camp. There were multiple times I saw that defense going again. Now, granted, Brady was surgical on certain stretches, but I saw him have to tuck the ball and reset because pre-snap, they gave Brady one look. Post-snap, they gave him a different one. So, and that's what Dean Pease does. So, I like this matchup. Look, I'll tell you now, when I do my prediction at the end of the week, I am going to put the Titans on top. And the thing is, like when you mentioned the Patriots, you kept saying, oh, they're the Patriots. Guess what? The Titans, the head of that group is a former Patriot. You got Logan Ryan, a former Patriot. You got Deion Lewis, a former Patriot. Dean Pease, a former Patriot. If anyone understands that team, it's this team. Then on top of that, going against the Patriots, what does Bill Belichick try to do?
Take away your best. Yeah.
Right.
Going back to the A.J. Brown. Now we're going to see. This is going to be an interesting matchup in my mind because you know that is going to be, well, I don't know. To your point, I don't know. Is it him? Is it Derrick Henry? What are they going to? What's their number one goal on defense against the Titans' offense?
Well, here's the deal.
Is it to stop the run or is it to take A.J. Brown out?
Let's even just say to stop the pass. Okay. You want to stop the pass. You put Stephon Gilmore in cat coverage against A.J. Brown. Yep. Okay. That's a matchup. I think we'll go back and forth. But then what happens with Corey Davis?
Yeah.
Who already showed that he could give Stephon Gilmore work, right?
Jonnu Smith.
That's the matchup. That's where I was going. You're going to try to stop what the Titans are doing best in the passing game in A.J. Brown, but Patrick Chung is no match. No match, you hear me, for Jonnu Smith. And then on top of that, you got the F-150 in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
They got some new tires. You know, he's feeling good.
New tire, man. I told you he got a tune-up. I told you on Friday. He got a tune-up.
He definitely got a tune-up.
And you saw it.
I took under in pick six. That was a miss.
That's my only miss.
I was like,
what was I thinking? That should have been yards rushing over under 200 for Derrick Henry. I don't know how anybody could say. I mean, honestly,
I
it was at the time, considering, you know, his hamstring and the unknown of what it would look like, 100 seemed like a fair number, right? Just because. You just didn't know how he would respond. And to see that, my goodness.
I liked his Marshawn Lynch impression, by the way.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
I told him, I said, Marshawn could do that, but you can't. You're not leaving. He's just laughing. But I tell you, Derrick Henry, he has that Jerry Rice syndrome, right? That mediocre 40 time. But you put him on the field, you're not catching him from behind. Mm.
We will come back more with Teron Davenport, ESPN, of course, talking with TD is his podcast. Check it out. TD and Chase on Friday nights. This Friday, 6 to 8?
That's the plan.
Okay.
Games on Saturday, so there might be some traveling.
We're going to fix it.
We're going to get it right.
If anything changes, obviously, we'll let you know. But we'll count on this Friday, 6 to 8, right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll be back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Well, we like you pretty well.
That's right.
He is the NFL's leading rusher for the 2019 season. He is Derrick Henry. He is Nashville's version of Beast Mode, even though Beast Mode is back in Seattle. Did anybody watch the end of that game last night?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Holy cow.
It's a great game.
You know, that's one of the receivers. I got so excited, I almost knocked the mic over. Sorry about that.
Well, they got excited in Seattle, too. They thought they were going to win the game with Beast Mode.
That guy who caught the ball is actually Cody Hollister's brother.
I thought so.
Yeah. Okay, really?
Did you see the post-game
Jacob
interview?
Hollister?
Yeah.
I did not see the post-game.
Yeah, they're like, They're like twins, man.
Really?
Yeah, they look so much alike. It's crazy. But yeah, that's his brother.
By the way, big ups for the Kumo D. This is how far back I go. I had the tape in high school, the cassette.
And it was white, remember? It was white. That was before they became clear.
Before the clear tape. Yes, it's true. Oh, my.
Wow. The way back zone. Hey, yeah, I don't know if you were around. I was gonna say,
the
fella.
You see the audience that's laughing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
In a day where there were some pretty fun clips of officiating thing. I mean, Saturday night in Pittsburgh, I know there's still some frustration over what happened at the end of the Predators game. And then John Tortorella had a classic going off yesterday. But speaking of Hollister, Teron, on the third down, that's interference in the end zone. What is going on? If that were a playoff game, now that's a big game, right? That switches that.
They should have reviewed it from the
booth.
That
1/2 yard changes the whole seating of the NFC playoffs, right?
No question.
And the guy is being held with two hands on third and goal. That's the game.
Right.
Right? If they give them the ball back on the 1 yard line, which they had it before, right?
Or actually don't have a delay of game when you have first and goal
from the
one.
That's on them.
Too.
But
I mean, Fred Warner wasn't even looking back at the ball. He committed every crime that is involved in pass interference.
Somebody show some guts up there and ring down and review it. Why do you have the rule if you're not going to do that on that play?
That's a joke. You know why? Because it's for now. Yeah. It's now going to get implemented.
Now they will.
But you don't just flip the switch and start judging.
It was just window dressing. See, we've been walking by the window. Now the store is open.
How much more obvious can you get?
I agreed. Nobody would argue that.
A play like that, I remember my receiver coach, if something like that happened to us, he'd be like, son, call the 800 number because you just got violated.
Well,
this is why I'm just telling you, you're going to see it now. Now in the playoffs. This is why. Because of the playoffs last year. They've been window dressing.
It's not smart.
I agree. It's not smart.
You have to be consistent.
I agree.
You know.
Man.
But here's the problem. This is what we're running into. Because I agree. They should have totally reviewed that. And that's a booth review under 2 minutes. They should have definitely done that. But now you're going to get to the point where so many people are going to reference that play or another play or some others. And what do you do? Do you review everything? And then make the games twice as long because you want to get it right?
It's obvious.
You get that right in the first place. I mean, what are you looking at? How do you not see that in front of your eye? What are you looking at?
You put the rule in to have a cover for when you have a screw-up. And that was a screw-up.
By the way, do you think New Orleans has a complex by now?
No, I'm sure.
Well, you saw.
They get the three seed
because
of that.
The path to the Super Bowl should be going through New Orleans, and it's now through San Francisco.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, too. There was this little part of me when they were reviewing the last play. I'm like, watch them give them the touchdown because they know they botched the pass interference.
That's what I said. Do you think New Orleans has a complex by now?
Two wrongs don't make a right, man. That would have been terrible if they gave him that touchdown.
Oh, I know. I mean, that would have made it even worse, but because he was down. Sorry, he just was.
But delay a game. I mean, what is it with Pete Carroll at the one?
That's unconscionable.
For a winning touchdown, what is it with the Seahawks in the 1 yard line? My goodness.
Man, you got that guy in the backfield, man. There's no discussion, especially after what happened before. We get to the 3 yard line. Hey, look, man, no need to call a play. We all know what we're going to do.
Beast mode, engaged.
Beast mode. Let the Skittles rain down on the field.
All right, I got a couple things for you, Teron. Yes, we heard the Derrick Henry run. I got to be honest. I don't want to be the party pooper, but I was the worry wart in the second half when they had the game in hand. And Tony Romo was sort of bringing this to the table. They started putting the chart. How many yards do you have to get to be the league champion and to get to 1,500? Was anybody else besides me saying, I don't know, man. He's got the hamstring.
I don't think the hamstring, like I said, he got a tune-up, man. Did you see the 53-yard touchdown? Did you see the 53-yard touchdown, though?
I did.
No sign of anything. Now, granted,
he had that burst back.
Granted, that could come up and bite you again. Don't get me wrong.
That's the kind of run where I worry about something. But
if he's your close, like the whole objective of having a guy like him, it's like bottom bottom of the eighth inning, you know what I mean? You want to shut it down. Bottom of the ninth, you want to shut it down. He is their closer.
I know what Willie's saying, though. If he gets hurt, going for a record when the game was already over, you know what today. I mean, people, it's just natural. People would be going crazy at a coaching decision to still have him on the field in a game that was already decided.
So you're saying Deion Lewis should have been in the game? Is that
I'm saying I understand why he's saying
3 minutes left.
If
or whatever.
Something happens, right? If he comes up and he hobbles to the sideline and he's pulled out of the game, and all of a sudden now the hamstring is back in play and he's questionable for the playoff game. You know what I mean? I didn't say it was fair, but you know what the talk would be.
Yeah, I know where you're going. I don't think he would have wanted to come out anyway. The offensive line, I mean, talking to them, they had a lot of pride in him getting to that point. You know, and as a team, I just think it's just something that they just felt like they had to do. And if you play scary or to avoid injury, I don't like that approach to the game.
Well, I thought it was so impressive that even in a game where – Houston's resting guys, and Houston still at least came out and was playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were competing.
Drive. That was their first touchdown on an opening drive right. this year.
McCarron didn't look that bad.
Yeah, he was solid. He probably helped himself going forward as a backup. But I think the Titans deserve a lot of credit for being ready and playing well. There's pressure, right? You saw not everybody that was playing one of those teams did well, a.k.a. the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
And they came out and executed, no turnovers, and I thought that was impressive. Yeah, I love the confidence they're going to carry into Foxborough here.
And that's the thing, man. Confidence is king, you know. And I think, and I'm going to touch on this with Coach Ray White, the pressure today. I think the familiarity that this organization has with the Patriots, it's like, okay, I know the bully. I know where I got to punch the bully in order to chop that bully down to my level. You know what I mean? And as a matter of fact, I don't even think they look at the Patriots. They don't look at the Patriots as a bully. You know what I mean? I think that confidence is huge for them going into this game.
Are you concerned that when the Patriots were here in camp that they were walking around the facility, maybe videoing stuff? Were you concerned about that?
I plead the fifth.
What?
Now you never know. Listen.
So you have actually thought about that?
No. I'm playing to your shenanigans.
Okay. I was like, wow. All right, we're on to something.
No, I'm playing to your shenanigans, man.
Did you see Nash's tweet last night?
Mm-mm.
He goes, "Congrats to and tags T-Rack on the playoffs. Unrelated. I got a call from a guy in Boston who does documentaries on mascots. He would like to film you at a Titans practice this week on the sideline. I'll pass on your info."
That's pretty good.
The joke.
But I think it would be a mistake to underestimate the Patriots, right?
No,
I think all week you got to be saying, we want to slay the dragon. I mean, we you have to expect fully that it is the Patriots that are going to be themselves. And that is the toughest out you can be. At the same time, I love the confidence. I do think this Titans team is way better than the team that went up there 2 years ago and didn't look like they belonged on the same field.
Yeah.
Fair to say?
They're more balanced. I mean,
there's just more talent up and down.
And then now you have, I mean, there are guys on, I was talking to Jarrell Casey, you know, talking to Taylor Lewan. This is a chance for them to avenge the loss. And that's on their mind, you know, to avenge the loss they had up there a couple years ago. But the main thing in that is the whole shock factor of being in Foxborough for a playoff
headlights.
Game. For a lot of those guys, it's gone, you know, because they've already been there and done that. So that's a big-time thing.
I did not watch. I was just watching the score. I saw the highlights of the game. I look at the Patriots down the stretch. They went 4-4 in the last eight games. And as we know, you know, they couldn't beat the Dolphins yesterday. But even the Bengals, like they're at the Bengals a couple weeks ago, and the game in the second half is still very competitive. Like they have not been a machine at all in the second half of the season. You hear all these talk, it's nonspecific, about Brady's arm, that he is, you know, he was starting to show some arm strength issues last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then supposedly about midway through the year, he did something to his arm, and that's even been an issue even more so. Like, he's 42 to start with. Now he's got an arm problem to go with it. I wonder what that factor is going to be looking like. And as you said, the weapons he's got to throw to, very pedestrian.
Did you see the Eric Rowe pick six?
Yeah.
Terrible throw.
Yeah.
That was a bad throw.
He picked it off, touchdown. My thing, I think you also have to look at, I'm not big on pass being a predictor, but the Patriots are 3-3 when they play on Wild Card Weekend. Now, granted, they haven't done it since 2009, but I think that's an interesting thing to look at. Tom Brady was still the quarterback, you know what I mean? So there is some commonality there, you know, but I just think the table is really set for this Titans team, and they are pack and play.
Didn't the Ravens go in there a couple of times?
The Ravens have gone in there and
in the playoffs
and gave them – I mean, they beat them in the AFC Championship 2012, you know. They've gone in there to beat the Patriots, but – and they had a similar formula as far as being pack and play. Highly efficient passing game, strong running game, stout defense. A bunch of dogs on that defense.
Yep.
This defense has a bunch of dogs. The running game is what it is. Tannehill, 70% passer. He could throw the short pass. A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis even. These guys are going to catch the ball and get you yards after the catch.
But this is what I look at, because I think – you will have a lot of people still, and you should, saying, but it's the Patriots. They'll get it right, and they will have some stuff up their sleeve. They'll be ready to go. But this is what I look at. They were 8-0 when they played the Ravens in Baltimore on that Sunday night. They got ripped, 37-20. They did well to even get back in the game. It looked like they were going to get completely blown away. And this is before the swagger started to wear off. Then you look at the next few games. They beat the Eagles in Philadelphia, but it was a 17-10 weird,
barely
windy game. They couldn't get anything going offensively. Then the same kind of thing. Bad weather against the Cowboys. They eke it out 13-9. Then they get beat in Houston on the Sunday night against the Texans. Then they lose to the Chiefs at home. Then they had that game against the Bengals where the score ends up 34-13, but it took a while for them to knock out maybe the worst team. Maybe the worst team in the league. If not, it's the second worst. Then they struggle against the Bills at home. Struggle, but they find a way. And then they can't find a way against the Dolphins, who, albeit, are playing better. The Dolphins were much better down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaky good.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't look like a juggernaut right now.
Yep.
They're going to be the crafty champion that's going to be tough to knock out, but they are beatable. Man, I got to believe they're beatable.
We'll talk more about that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Teron Davenport in studio with us talking with TD. Pro Football Focus, top five offensive grades.
Oh.
5-1. Corey Davis, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Pruitt. Number one, Jack Conklin. Number one graded out, according to Pro Football Focus. Well, there was times when Tannehill had all day. He could have popped up a tent and roasted marshmallows. Right? He had time.
He had his two touchdowns came when he didn't. He
True.
Had to extend plays. I just be quiet on that. I don't really get too far into PFF ratings or
okay.
anything like that.
But just thought I would pass that along.
So I'll be quiet.
Willie asked the question during the break. Can you take anything away from what the Titans did to the Patriots here last year? And I think the three of us being you, me, and Chase, all kind of chimed in together. Because I don't know if Willie had an opinion or he was just throwing that out there. We all three were like, nah. Because I think we all three look at it and say, the Patriots were different then, and the Titans are different now.
I'm going to straddle the fence, though.
Both teams are different today.
Both teams are different today. But last year, that tone was set from the first offensive play by the Patriots. James White catches a dump off. Kenny Vaccaro comes up and body rocks him. Right from the start, the tone was set. They get the ball on offense. The second play of the game, I want to say. Corey Davis, deep over route. I think it was like 42 yards. They move Davis elsewhere. Gilmore goes with him. Another deep over route, pass interference. What I'm saying is the tone was set on both sides of the ball by the Titans. And that's something that they could go back and look at and say, you know what? We set the tone on them last year. Let's focus on doing that this year. I think that is something that they could pull. And what's the thing that takes a crowd like Foxborough, a hostile environment?
What's encompassing of setting the tone? Is it scoring or is it hits? What do you mean by setting the tone?
Neither of those things that I mentioned were scores.
Okay, but because you set the tone. By the way, I didn't know that stat till they put it up there yesterday. What? The Titans were the best team in the NFL this year in the second half on
best,
offense?
Best scoring I know team? They were the best running offense. Best scoring team. I mean,
best
was,
scoring team in the second half in the NFL this year.
What do they do in the second half?
I know. What I'm saying, that's what I'm getting at.
They give the ball to Derrick Henry.
Right, but I've been saying.
And then they play action.
They haven't done well. That's the point is, if setting the tone is scoring points early, that certainly has not been a strength of theirs.
That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. What I'm talking about is setting the tone, making it understood that you're there to play ball, right? It's not too big for you. I understand, as Mike Vrabel said, it's a viper's den. I understand we're in the viper's den, but guess what? We have the kryptonite for your Superman. You know what I mean? I think it's really important. There's just something that could be said to right from the jump, establishing the fact that it's going to be a long day. And I think that's what they did last year. So you could pull that from last year and put it into this year. And I'll tell you honestly, when you're going into an environment like that, if you could get them on a three and out or just a stop on that first drive and even get a field goal, you take the crowd out of it.
Well, my theory when I threw out that game last year, and obviously, you're right. The environment is going to be 100% different.
It's going to be huge.
It's completely different. I don't know what the weather is going to be. That's another X factor.
They said the 30s.
But the wind and the rain, I mean, it can get nasty. That I don't know what kind of factor that would be. An X factor at best.
I don't think it's any. What does Mike Vrabel say? When it gets mucky and it gets dirty, that's their advantage. And you look at this team, they're built to play in the elements. That's
right.
The whole thing.
You're right. The other thing is something you brought up earlier, the familiarity of Dean Pease, the familiarity of Mike Vrabel to how the Patriots do their thing. But especially Pease, right? What did the Titans defense do last year? They really made Tom Brady look old. Can they do that again? If they can do that again, that bodes well. This Patriots offense has really struggled, no matter who they've been playing here. And now you've got Dean Pease who you hope can find the cracks and make it tough on Brady, who has limited weapons. Yesterday, this has been something that has been harped on. Rodney Harrison's been the guy that I think has brought it to the forefront on the national stage, is they have had to dig into their bag of tricks a lot to come up with plays. They threw a ball to number 52 yesterday.
Yep, a linebacker playing fullback. Daggone.
So they are really having to get crafty to come up with stuff without Gronk, because as you mentioned, it's Edelman and it's White in the passing game. They don't have a great running game. Brady cannot rocket the ball down the field. They are limited in what they can do. Now, they're going to claw and scratch, and they're going to do everything they can, and they don't have to score a lot of points because they have a great defense, in theory, but that's how you're going to have to beat them.
Look, man, Dolphins put up, 24? What did they put up on them yesterday?
The Patriots, they scored 24. They lost 27-24.
Okay, so the Dolphins put up 27 points.
Yeah.
You know, I they could be scored on. I think really, here's the deal. This is what it boils down to. Reestablish and control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. That's what it boils down to. I don't care what quarterback, Joe Montana, Drew Brees, you name it, Johnny Unitas. I don't care who it is. You collapse that pocket from the inside, they don't like it. You match that with the outside pass rush, because Derek Roberson, 3 sacks in 29 snaps, 3.5, excuse me. You match that, and then you look at the offensive line. They're hitting a groove. You reestablish the line of scrimmage on both sides. That's what the Ravens did. That's why the Ravens controlled that game.
Here's the other thing that I take away from last year to your question is Corey Davis led the way with 7 catches and 125 and a touchdown.
Most of which was against Stephon Gilmore.
Right.
Carry on.
A.J. Brown wasn't on the team, so that's a factor. Jonnu Smith had a pretty good day. Derrick Henry only carried the ball 11 times for 58 yards but had 2 touchdowns. The offense is more, I don't know if dynamic, but they have more weapons. And then plus Tannehill running the
no
running
question.
It. So
no question.
I think when you look at last
year, the offense is more dynamic.
Yeah. There's no dispute.
It's 100% more dynamic.
So that's why I really like the matchup, knowing what worked last year and then the additions that they have in Tannehill and Brown. I think you got to like that, and that's still giving respect to the Patriots defense. And also, you remember the first time, like, you know, growing up and you're competing, you know, backyard or whatever against your dad, and the first time you beat your dad at something? That's mm-hmm. that's what this is. I mean, they did it last year. Vrabel did it last year. I mean, he looks at Belichick. That's daddy. Okay? That's that's daddy over there. So he wants to go in there into Foxborough for the first time as a head coach and walk out with a win. I think there's something to be said for that there's a little bit extra. I mean, you want to win. It's a playoff game. You should be fired up for it. But there's a little bit extra because of who they're playing.
Yeah, no doubt. You have to be careful, though. You can't go in there too confident. I remember I was a teenager.
No.
My dad and I had a disagreement. And I came downstairs. He was lacing up his boots. He said, meet me out back. I was confident. But that 2-piece with no biscuit took my confidence away. So I'm just saying, you got to make sure you don't go in there too confident.
But I think because of the respect that Vrabel and Pease and Robinson, I think because of how well they know the Patriots, that should help them not fall into that trap. Because it is easy. I'm telling you, the more you look at the numbers, look at their wide receiver production after Edelman. Okay, forget about the fact they don't have Gronk. And their top tight end, Ben Watson, caught 17 passes this year. After Edelman, Philip Dorsett, 29 catches, less than 400 yards. Jacoby Myers, 26 catches, less than 400 yards. Josh Gordon, not on the team, 20 catches. Mohamed Sanu, 26 catches, 8 yards per catch. They just don't scare you.
It's not there, you know, but the thing is, we talk about the officials, right, and how you have to be consistent, how you can't just turn it on. It's different with the Patriots. They just have a way of turning things on come playoff time.
You have
time.
To assume
so,
they'll turn it on.
Yeah, it's tough matchup.
We'll come back, wrap up the first hour with Teron Davenport here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app. Teron Davenport, ESPN. Hanging out with us, talking with TD, chasing TD.
Yeah.
This is how we do it.
Got me feeling like I'm back in 94 at the body shop at Cheney University. Oh.
Feeling good? You ready?
Yeah.
Ready for a playoff week?
Man, music makes me high, man. I can't help it.
You and I have had this, or we've had conversations on the show on Friday nights about some of the position coaches for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just the impact that they have. If you had to pick the most underrated position coach for the Titans and how much of an impact they've made, who would it be?
I can't go OC. I have to go position.
Well, I mean, if it's Arthur Smith, then it's Arthur Smith. If that's your answer, then that's fine. Because I thought you'd say Rob Moore. Because that's your guy.
You know.
I thought he would say Rob Moore.
Yeah. Coach Moore, man, the original Rod Tidwell.
I asked Tajay Sharp about him on Friday. I mean, he's made a huge impact.
He's made a huge because
does he talk much to the media?
Not to everybody.
I was
gonna
say, I have
not to everybody, but see,
I don't see
again,
much from him.
We don't get opportunities much. As much, you know, with the assistant coaches as we do with the OC. But I always make sure when they're available, just chat it up with them. But he doesn't really have to talk much. His talking shows in the coaching. And I think A.J. Brown is a really good example of that. Tajay Sharp, a really good example of that. You see things that they work on in practice really show up in games. And Same thing could be said for Shane Bowen. I mean, that it's hard to pick one because Coach Bowen, you see the drills that they're working on. I talked to Derek Roberson, and he told me some of the stuff that they work on just carries right into it. You ask Harold Landry, you know, then you look at the D lineman, Coach Terrell Williams. I mean, you look at the DBs. Coach Scott Booker is severely underrated, the assistant DB coach.
Yeah.
Kerry Coombs. I mean, good gracious. There's
– whose call was it yesterday at the end of the game with the delay of games on the punt? Whose call was that?
I don't know.
Mike Vrabel was not happy.
Well, no, but that's the thing. Tony Romo was trying to give Mike Vrabel credit. But once CBS panned over to the sidelines, that wasn't Mike Vrabel doing that.
No. Because okay. He was looking and going, what are you doing?
No, that's the clean version.
Yeah, the clean version.
That's the clean. He said, hey, what the are you doing?
Yeah.
So Romo was like, hey, this
what
is brilliant.
Sticks?
Yeah.
What are you doing? He's like, this is brilliant by Mike Vrabel. And I would go, then they panned over to him. And I was like, I don't think that was Mike Vrabel.
Mm.
Because they just showed him, you can read lips. What are you doing?
it's just tough, man. Because like Coach Tyrone McKenzie with the inside. I mean, Rashad Evans is balling.
So I have a point with this. And it's because you don't think about it that much. Like when you're watching a team, you see the head coach and the two coordinators and maybe the special teams coordinator. Uh-huh. But it's those three that you really think about. But when you break it all down, there's so much that goes into it. And two straight years of 9-7, they're going to the playoffs. I mean, are they perfect? No, absolutely not. But I also say you look at this offense, especially when Tannehill took over, and Art kind of grew into it. But the development of these players from the position coaches, I mean, you got to give credit to that
staff.
I
thought about this a lot, Teron. This is the fourth straight year they've gone 9-7, right? And so from afar, somebody in Boston, I'm sure a confident Patriots fan, will be sitting there going, 9-7. There are different 9-7s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This team, the way they're playing now, feels a lot different than your average 9-7, where there have been a couple 9-7s that didn't make the playoffs, and you're like, well, they were very fortunate to be 9-7. This team was they're 9-7, but when you look a little deeper,
they're 7-3.
And I think they are more talented than your basic 9-7.
But what's interesting about that is we didn't mention two of the guys that have a lot to do with what's being consistent, right? You got the other two TDs, right? Todd Downing, the tight end coach. Those tight ends are blocking their behinds off. And a lot of times when that edge gets sealed and they get Derrick Henry on the outside, it's on the strength of Jonnu Smith. Michael Pruitt, what's he doing? Playing H-back, right?
Outstanding.
So
the role definition has been excellent.
Right, you got that. And then you got the other TD and Tony Dews, because what's an area that Derrick Henry's improving in?
Pass blocking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Staying on the field for all the plays and not, I don't know if we can have Derek in there because I don't think we can get this play protected.
Trying to make him a
three-down back. It's over for that now.
Yeah.
Tony Dews spends a lot of time during individual period working on pass pro. So it's hard to pick just one. I'm biased, so I'm going to pick the receiver, you know, coach, and Rob Moore, so I would go there. But everyone deserves credit.
Season awards. A.J. Brown, in my mind, rookie of the year.
It's not a conversation.
Yep, I would agree with that. John Robinson in the mix for executive of the year, GM of the year?
I really think so. What did you say, Willie D? 7-3 with this guy. You got a team paying, you got another team paying five of the $7 million this man is making this year. And then obviously the incentives they're going to pay, but you dangled a nice carrot in front of him, and you got another team paying it.
And it's not just Tannehill.
Well, if he's going to win that award because of that, then I put my name on there too then, because I get a little bit of that award.
Sure. I mean, look, it's not just Tannehill, though. He drafted A.J. Brown in the second round.
Yeah, that kind of went over my head.
No, I said if you're going to give it to him because of the Tannehill move, then that's why.
Well, because you wanted a better backup quarterback.
I was only screaming it for 2 years.
Well, we know.
And they did it.
We heard you.
How'd that work out?
They heard you.
How'd it work out?
Yeah, but you got to pick one and get another team to pay for him to be the guy to come in and spearhead your – I'm not going to take anything away from J-Rob.
You know what I'm going to do?
You know what I mean? He's – yeah.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to listen to some things over the last year or so where Darren was right. And I'm going to get him a nice plaque to hang in here.
Be awesome.
There's some cookies better. In the break room. You want me to go get them and bring?
What kind of cookies are they? I've never turned down good cookies. Never.
I don't know. They look like they've been in there for a little bit.
I would have known if they were fresh. Those weren't fresh.
They would be gone, huh?
They would be gone. That's exactly right.
But let's address one more thing with Teron.
Yeah.
Because this is another fear that I have. Because what has kept this team from being 11-5 and the division champion? Arguably. The kicking game. Mm. Right? They are, what, 8
You talking about this season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 8-17.
Preach.
They still haven't had to attempt a field goal with this new guy.
It's amazing.
Right?
And by the way, a couple of the extra points are like...
He got a bunch of touchbacks yesterday, though.
Bear. He did.
Yeah.
But the touchbacks are one thing. I get it. That's somewhat important. But the extra points, as you said, there were a couple they kind of shaved the upright a little bit.
A couple
there.
Of them, I was like, did that make it in?
I was like, is that going?
Okay, they raised their arms up.
But
okay,
they have
good.
Not... They do not go... They go into Foxborough not knowing whether this guy... is going to be able to be reliable on, say, a 43-yarder. Even Ryan Succop was missing 30-something yarders. This team hasn't made a big field goal in weeks.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's one area I think you can knock him. You could definitely knock J-Rob for how...
Yeah, they messed that up.
You know, we're going to praise him for the Tannehill, knock him for that one.
That might have cost him a couple wins, really, in
Buffalo
retrospect.
The one. Look, they left 9 points on the field.
Mm-hmm. Even Indy.
Yeah. Indy, too.
They missed a...
Yeah, you're right.
If they have great field goal kicking... They might have 2 more wins.
I don't even know if you need to be great.
But they are where they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point.
But still, it's kind of a... And yesterday, I was kind of hoping in the 2-minute drill at the end of the half, I was like, this would be a great time to just get this guy out here and try a field goal to get him on track and get a little confidence for him. They haven't tried a field goal in weeks.
The good news for you, Teron, is the last time somebody from Nashville had to go up there and cover a Titans playoff game... Well, actually, no, that's not true.
Uh-oh.
That's not true, because I guess you weren't here a couple years ago, were you?
I was not.
Okay.
Well, that was Cameron.
Cold. It was not. I was up there in 03, and it was about -40 with the wind chill.
I think
game.
The official Watch temperature was the, 4, right?
It was
without the wind chill.
No, was it
was
above?
Like 4.
It was. Yeah. Was it above?
Yeah, I mean, the wind above. Chill took it below.
It was like 30, yeah. 30. Honestly, it was 25, 30 below with the wind chill.
Yeah.
It's the coldest environment, even though I didn't have to be out in it. It won't be that cold.
Yeah. I thought about my flight was, 2 hours, a good hour and a half of it. I'm sorting through, trying to think, all right, what thicker wool, what lamb's wool jacket do I have to wear? Or how am I going to do this?
You need the beanie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I got to cover this thing right here. Yeah. You know.
Watch out for the fire alarm going off at 3 a.m., too, because
I stayed at their hotel.
Well, I probably won't be at the team hotel, so I'm good.
Okay, you're good.
Yeah, I'm good there.
In 03, they stayed in Rhode Island. Is that right? Yeah, Rhode Island.
I don't know. I wasn't there. You were there.
Good point. Yeah.
They don't stay
in Boston. I mean, Foxborough's way out.
Yeah. I saw that. I said, man, I'm staying in Boston. You know what I mean?
You're going to stay in Boston?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Cheers bar and have me an old duels. You know what I'm saying? And just enjoy that. You know, I'm going to Lyft and Uber around the city. Also, yeah, I told my shout out to my Lyft driver that got me here today, my man Michael. Appreciate you, man. Told you I'll shout you out.
All right. Hope he was listening. It paid off if he was.
Yeah.
Teron, good to see you.
Good to see you too, man.
I can't wait to hear what we're going to be talking about next Monday, honestly.
Oh, goodness gracious.
It's going to be, I think there's a real shot. I mean, a real shot that we are talking about a second round playoff game, right?
Yep. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you and your family. Yeah. Teron Davenport, check out his work, ESPN.com. Of course, talking with TD and TD and Chase on Friday nights from 6 to 8 right here on 102.5 The Game. Hour number 2 coming up next.